Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, I guess today's message would sort of be a follow-up to last week's message, the man who would be God. And I just happened to see today on the internet somebody talking about some of these very same things that we mentioned in last week's message about what Hitler had planned for the Christian church. And that's exactly what the Antichrist has plans as well, that he would get rid of anybody who would call upon the name of the Lord, who would call upon the name Jesus, who would call upon the God of heaven and would declare himself God. Well, 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people were looking for a promised Messiah. And some, unfortunately, are still looking today. Because you see, there had been false messiahs who had come on the scene. There had been those who had set themselves up to what appeared that they would be Messiah. They led, in some cases, the people into revolts against those who were over them, in many cases the Romans. Before that it was the Greeks, and before that it was other groups that had come in and occupied the land. But each one of them finally was removed from the scene. But then 2,000 years ago, a man came, the Messiah that they had been waiting for. But the question was, would they finally recognize and accept him? And as I said, many did not recognize that he was Messiah. Many turned their backs and thought that he was not the promised one, that he was not the one that had been prophesied that would come, that would bring deliverance. Because you see, sometimes we think our prayers aren't answered because we're looking for the wrong answer. We're looking at it in the wrong place. They were expecting Messiah to come, and he would deliver them from the yoke of Roman bondage. And prior to that, from the Greeks, and prior to that, whoever else had them under bondage. And they thought that if somebody didn't come on the scene and lead this massive revolt against their overlords, that they could not possibly be Messiah. But you see, Jesus didn't come to deliver us from some of those things necessarily. He came to deliver us from that yoke of sin that was upon us, that has oppressed us and has burdened us and beat us down since the time of Adam and Eve. And that is the deliverance. That is what he came to deliver us from. That is what he came to bring a freedom from, a way that we could have deliverance once and for all from that sin that was a bondage upon us. Well, let's look back in time, almost 2,000 years ago. It was 40 days after Passover. And although the Bible doesn't say it exactly this way, I've kind of used my imagination a little bit, but I'm thinking just outside the city. I don't think this happened right in downtown at the city square of Jerusalem. But I'm thinking it was probably just outside the city that the event that we're going to talk about began to take place. Could you give me some water? And we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And it says, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. He has now given them a commission, saying, There is a day coming very shortly that you're going to receive power. And after this Holy Spirit that I promised you, this Comforter that I've told you about is come, you'll go out and you'll be witnesses. And you will be witnesses throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus, he has not gone off and left you. He is going to come back, and someday he is going to make a physical return to this earth, and he is going to come back for you. He has not left you alone. Well, he'd given them a commandment to go. He had told them that they were to go into the city and they were to tarry until the Holy Ghost came upon them, until that day came. And the Bible tells us that 10 days later in Jerusalem, in a room where some of the disciples of Jesus had been gathering, another event took place that would shake the world. And we read that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I want to stop there just a minute. Just think about that. They're gathered about. They've been here as much as 10 days, some of them. And they have been seeking God, and they have been seeking the promise that Jesus made, that he had said would happen, that would take place. And they are there in faith, believing. And they got into something that the church has had a problem with ever since. It says they got in one accord. They were of one mind. They were of one spirit. And they were worshiping God. And it says that moment broke loose, that the Holy Ghost came upon them. It says, there was a sound as a mighty rushing wind. You know, the wind can make some strange sounds. And I've heard people talking about that when tornadoes come, they make a sound somewhat like a freight train sometimes. And I know living in Southern California, an area where we have the Santa Ana winds, which originally pronounced it's Santana winds, which means the devil winds, came, and they rushed down through the canyon, and you stood outside and you could barely stand on your feet, and you would have thought there was a freight train coming down the tracks. So I can kind of imagine, they had no idea what a train locomotive sounded like, but they knew that there was this mighty sound that was coming into the place, and yet it did not have the effects that a tornado or something like that would have. It was the sound of something that was about to take place, something that was going to transpire in their midst. And it goes on, and it says, And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Can you imagine that? They're looking around, and they see setting upon each person that's in that room what looks like a cloven tongue of fire, and they're hearing this mighty sound. And I kind of think that some of them must have been, what in the world is going on in here? But they knew something special was beginning to happen. And it says then, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I know there's some folks that say that, well, that was for the day of Pentecost, and it doesn't apply to us today. But I'll tell you what God puts in His Word applies to us all the time. What God gave them back then, that promise He made them, applies to us today. His Holy Spirit, His blessing, His anointing is still for us today, and we still need to experience in our midst today. Now, as you go on and you begin to read here in this chapter 2 of the book of Acts, you find out as they were beginning to speak in other tongues, sometimes when we speak in tongues in church today, nobody really understands the language. It's a heavenly language. And the Holy Spirit may inspire then somebody to translate that language and give us the message that they are speaking into our language. But it says there in that day as they begin to speak, and there's something a lot of people don't realize, I think, is on the day of Pentecost, because it was a holy day to the Jews. It wasn't just a particular day of the week that happened. It was a holy day to the Jews that occurred, what, 50 days after Passover. We call it today Pentecost Sunday, but on the Jewish calendar it's Shavuot. And it's the day that transpired that this took place. And they were there for this special event. And the Bible really tells us that there were Jews, some were proselytes, some had converted into Judaism, and they had come there from all of the known world. So there were Jews from everywhere that were there in the streets of Jerusalem that day. And not all of them spoke Hebrew. Not all of them spoke Aramaic. Not all of them spoke Greek, maybe. But they were gathered there for the events that were taking place. And they witnessed something that would change the world that day. And they begin to say, hey, he's speaking in my native language. I understand what he's saying. And another one says, well, I understand, but it's a different language, but I understand it because it's my native language. And as the Holy Spirit began to manifest himself, of course, anytime there's a move of God, there's always got to be somebody that tries to throw some cold water on it. And there were those that jumped up and said, oh, these guys are drunk. They're drunk, they're drunk, they're drunk. And it says that Peter then, in verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now the Jewish calendar runs different than our calendar. The Jewish day runs different than our day. And the third hour of the day on the Jewish calendar was 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter is basically saying these people aren't drunk as you suppose because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They shouldn't be out drinking at this, you know, the bars aren't open yet. Basically. They're not drunk. This is a move of God. He goes on to say in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said this was prophesied hundreds of years ago that this event would take place, and you have been witnesses to that prophecy being fulfilled this very day. And today, as we see moves of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and men and women begin to be blessed and anointed under the Holy Spirit, sometimes speaking in tongues, we are witnesses to a prophecy that has been fulfilled. Peter goes on and preaches a message. And in this message, he says in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all are, excuse me, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye see now and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make my foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Remember, 10 days earlier, two men in white apparel appeared to those that were gathered outside the city as they watched Jesus ascend into the heavens. And they said, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, the one you see going up, is going to come again. 10 days later, Peter is preaching this message as the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon those that are gathered together there in Jerusalem. And he is saying, this same Jesus that you've crucified is both Lord and Christ. You see, I told you there had been a lot of false messiahs. There had been a lot of false saviors that had come and gone, but they were all killed, and not one of them rose from the dead. They were all still buried, their bones out there somewhere. But Jesus had ascended into the heavens. He had risen from the dead. He was Lord and King. Amen? Well, like all things, the devil gets mad when God begins to do a work. Opposition begins to set in. It didn't take long for opposition to set into the early church. It's just a few chapters we read about a man by the name of Stephen. And he was, according to the Bible, one of the first deacons in the church. Deacons had it a lot rougher back then than they do today. But he had been ministering as was appointed to him to do. And this wasn't very long after all these events had taken place. And there were those who were offended by the message that he preached. Well, I've got news for you. There are people who are offended today by the message we preach. And in some places, it seems like they're winning the battle. You can talk about anybody you want to talk about. Just don't talk about Jesus. Kids get kicked out of school for having the name Jesus on a t-shirt because it might offend somebody. But you can put all sorts of awful things on there, all sorts of profane things on there, and not a word be said. So opposition has set in. Stephen has been charged. But I'll tell you, he gave one big final message. And as part of that message in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he says, and we read on from there, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted?" Don't stop there for just a minute. He was hitting home there. Because the prophets, some of those that we read about in the Old Testament, men of God, had been persecuted by those of the very group they were ministering to. We go back and look in history, and we find that some of the leaders that got into leadership and the Jewish community were not necessarily men of God, but they got in by bribery and other means to get into the position that they were in. And of course, was during the time of the Roman occupation. And he's saying, you resisted as your fathers did. He said, "Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." He's saying, your fathers persecuted the prophets for talking about this just one that was to come, and now you've murdered him. Probably didn't go over too well with them, did it? Goes on to say, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I can just imagine it was a frenzy out there. And it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Well, it doesn't say it exactly the way I've been reading it in the other verses, but it says, and he saw the glory of God and this same Jesus that he'd been talking about. That who he's talking about there. This same Jesus that the angels were talking about when Jesus ascended into heaven. This same Jesus that Peter was talking about on the day of Pentecost is the same Jesus that Stephen looked up into the heavens and said, I see him standing at the Father's right hand. This same Jesus. Paul goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. That same Jesus who walked planet Earth 2,000 years ago and was crucified, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. That same Jesus who ascended back into the heavens and also left us with these words. He said in John chapter 14, verse 3, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This same Jesus that was talking about, that Stephen talked about, this same Jesus that Peter talked about, this same Jesus that the angels talked about, is the same Jesus that said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and get you someday." That same Jesus. That's the same Jesus that we serve today. It's not a different Jesus. It's not somebody else, but it's the same Jesus that they were talking about back then. It's the same Jesus that walked the face of planet Earth 2,000 years ago. The same Jesus that performed miracles. The same Jesus that died on the cross that we could have remission for our sins. That same Jesus is the one that we serve. And he has not left us alone. He said he would send us a comforter, and he did. He sent the Holy Ghost that is here to guide us and direct us and to lead us in the right path, so that when we have problems that we can turn to him and know that he will be there with us, that his Spirit will be there with us to lead us and guide us. And there's not one person as a Christian that doesn't sometimes face difficulties in their life. They face trials. They face hardships. They face times when they are tempted. They face times when they feel just like throwing up their hands and say, "I just quit." But the same Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, that when we go through those times, we can put our faith and our trust and our confidence in him, and he's going to be there to give us guidance and direction. Will it always be easy? No. And if any preacher out there tells you that being a Christian and living a Christian life is going to be easy, he's not telling you the truth, because it's sometimes a hard path to walk. But God gives us someone to walk that path with us. Amen. And yes, there are times that we face trials and temptations. Times when we feel like just throwing up our hands and giving up. But we know that we can put out our hand, and his hand will reach down and grab us by the hand and will lead us through if we'll let him. That same Jesus that walked planet Earth 2,000 years ago is still walking with us today. He's still here. He's still talking to us today. And you say, "Well, I don't ever hear his audible voice." And you may never hear his audible voice while you're here on planet Earth. But sometimes he speaks to you in your spirit. He speaks to you in your thoughts. He speaks to you in your dreams, or by various other means that he may communicate with you. But he lets you know that he loves you and he cares about you. He loves us. Think about it. Some people go through life feeling unloved. And some, rightfully so, they feel that for good reason, because love has not been expressed to them. Maybe they've grown up in a home where there was no affection, or where all they saw was horrible things that took place. And they feel that no one cares for them, but Jesus does. He loves us. And stop to think about it. Human love, the love, the emotions that we have, can in no way compare to the experience of the love that God gives us. God's love is greater and far beyond what we can even imagine or think. Stop to think about it. The Creator of the universe, the God of heaven, the one, the only God, loves him. He loves you. He loves me. He cares about us so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross for forgiveness of our sin. That's love. Yes, you may go through some hardships here. You may go through some tests, some trials. But just know that the God of heaven loves you. And when it seems that the world is on your case and everybody has turned against you, the God of heaven still loves you. That same Jesus that we've been talking about, he loves you. And if you're listening to me today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you have felt, like I've said, that no one loves you, no one cares about you, that you're all alone. I'm here to tell you today that you're not. God's there. And the God of heaven, King of the universe, loves you and he cares about you. And all you have to do to have him in your life is just simply ask him to come into your life, to come into your heart. And with all sincerity say, Jesus, come into my life today. Wash away my sin. Make me a new person in you. And he will. But you got to do it and mean it. It's not something you can just do flippantly and say, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Walk out the door and continue on the way you were before. But you've got to say, Jesus, I mean it. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Father, today I pray that those that are listening to this message today, that someone that might feel that they're all alone, that there is no hope, that this same Jesus that we've talked about loves them, cares about them, wants to be part of their life. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart today and draw them unto him. This I ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.